Everybody say preparing our hearts. All right, stand up here with me now. Let's agree together. This is not just me. This is us. Agree together that we're going to receive something from the Word of God. Say this out loud. Say, Father, I come before your throne to receive your Word. I'm asking you to open the eyes of my understanding so that I can see what I need to see. Open my eyes with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I choose now to receive your Word. Your Word is my light. It's my life. It's a lamp unto my feet. I look to your Word for revelation to help my life. I ask for that insight, concept, and ideas to strike me today as I hear your Word. I believe, I'm actively believing that I receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're doing this series called The Call of Grace. What is being called by grace? And if you'll notice here in 1 Peter chapter 5, let's look in verse 5, 1 Peter 5, 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care. I cast all my care upon you. Not the government. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. Not my family. And any time I don't know what to do, I will cast all my care upon you, not everybody else. Amen. See, he said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, casting the whole of your care over on him. Why? Because he cares for you. I said, he cares for you.
Hallelujah.
The Lord Jesus cares about you. All he's wanting us to do is to quit trying to fix it ourselves. Quit trying to do something about it ourselves. When we do that, we get over into the arena of force. And one of the first principles of the kingdom of God, it is not by might or force. It's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Anything that's force, it doesn't necessarily mean force has to be violent. It can be manipulative force. It can be pity. It can be, I care about you and I'm worried about you so much, I want you to change for me. We don't want people to change for us. We want them to be transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Notice he says here in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered, or that word suffered there would better be translated resisted, after you've resisted carrying care, after you've resisted carrying worry, after you've resisted carrying fear, and most listen, we need to get to the place that we resist. Everybody say, resist it. Most of us, if there's worry or fear, we just kind of embrace it and say, come on in. Come on in. Let's put some pajamas on. We'll go to bed with you. No, no, no. We want to cast away care. We want to resist worry. Resist worry like you would, listen, most people would flip out if somebody come in here with a fifth of whiskey and sat down and got drunk in the church service. But you know, there's a lot of people that'll come in and sit down drunk on worry. Just as drunk in their mind on worry as if they had a fifth of whiskey in their hand. We need to see that worry and fear and anxiety is just as dangerous as a fifth of whiskey, or just as dangerous as somebody with a cocked pistol. Amen. Now, I want you to think with me just a minute, because see, we have to understand something. I've spent 16 years teaching this, and I want you to understand this. You are called out and qualified by the grace of God. That grace existed, and He loved you and made a path for you and a way for you before you ever knew Him. For God so loved the world. He didn't just, it's not the church world now. He loves the church world. But God so loved the world that He gave. God made a path for you and a plan for you before you ever knew Him, when you were still carnal. God had a plan for you. His grace was available for us before we ever knew anything about that grace. We've been called out by grace. It's God's ability. It's God's doing. It's not ours. It is God's ability working in us. Been teaching this for years and years and years. Now listen to me. But just because you've been called out by grace doesn't necessarily mean you're qualified. And a lot of people don't understand that. Why? Let me give you an illustration of this. Now I want you to close your eyes just a minute and think about this with me. Let's just say we're going to the doctor's office, and this doctor has a degree from the finest medical university on the planet. I mean, he's got degrees all over his walls. He can do everything. I mean, he is one of the best doctors that ever were. He's been qualified by the grace. He's been qualified by his training. He's been qualified by passing the test. He's been qualified. But yet when he starts to operate on you, he doesn't have any anesthesia. He starts to operate on you and his scalpel is dull. Huh? Well, he's qualified, right? But he's not prepared. I said he's qualified, but he's not prepared. Grace will qualify us. Grace has qualified us. Grace is the ability of God working in our lives. But folks, listen, there's a part of this life walking with God where we have to prepare ourselves to do what God wants us to do. Amen.
Amen.
Think about this. Think about a carpenter that is trained as a carpenter, qualified. I mean, you got the best carpenter that you could ever think of to build your house. But when he got to your house and he got there on the site the day he was supposed to build your house, there were no building materials, there were no tools, there was nothing that he could use. Even though he's the most qualified carpenter that ever walked the face of the earth, if he doesn't have the things that he needs, if he's not prepared to do the job, he's not going to get the work done. Or let's just say we've got a baby grand piano up here. I mean, a beautiful baby grand piano. And you are such an anointed musician. But you've learned all your life to play the fiddle. You could have a beautiful baby grand piano, but if you're not prepared to play it, you're not going to play it, even though you may be a qualified musician. Grace qualifies us. We choose whether we're prepared or not. Prepared for what? Prepared for every good work that God calls us to. We choose whether or not we, through the week, are preparing our heart for what God wants. We choose whether or not we're going to resist the devil. We choose whether or not we're going to say, worry, fear, just come on in. Let me worry about it. Let me think about it. Let me just gnaw on it. Let me just let worry and confusion. Let's just let all of this take over our lives. Listen. Greed, covetousness. Let's just let the covetousness come on in. It's my life. I'll live it the way I want to live it. Oh, Lord, you want not only to be qualified, but you want to be prepared. Prepared unto every good work. Prepared for what the Lord has for your life. Prepared. You say, well, how do I prepare myself? Well, turn over with me to Romans chapter 4 just now. Romans chapter 7, I want to show you something in verse 4. Romans chapter 7. In And it's warm in here to me, too. Is it warm to y'all? It's kind of warm in here if we could get a little air on somebody. Where is the ushers there? Somebody can get... Thank you. Everybody say, I want to be prepared. See, you're prepared for what? Well, listen, if you had an opportunity to get a good job, but you weren't prepared, let's say you went into the interview, you know, hadn't shaved, or you just looked bad and talked bad and didn't do well and didn't care about what you said, and, you know, you just went into that interview and you told that interviewer that, well, you know, the way I look at it, this is my life. I'll just come to work whatever time I want to. I'll be there at 9 o'clock if I want to be because it's my life. Well, you know, that might be, that person might have the best diplomas and the best education that ever was, but do you think they're qualified for the job? I doubt very seriously if I'd hire them. Now, you might, but I'm not going to. Amen? Grace qualifies us, but it's our choice of whether we're prepared or not. A lot of people are going to stand before the Lord and be surprised about how unprepared they were throughout their whole life following Him. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good now. Amen? Amen. Well, I tell you what, hold your place there in Romans chapter 4 and turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll show you this because we're going to go there in a minute, but I think we need to go there now. You need to see this from your Bible, not just me making this up. Because, see, there's a lot of folk that love the grace of God that qualifies them, but they don't like to have anything preached to them about being prepared in their heart. Being prepared to do what God wants us to do. Looking at the preparation. Notice here what he says in 2 Timothy. Let's start reading in chapter 2, verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are His, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Notice verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Amen. What did he say a person would have to do to be prepared? There are certain things that in this particular situation that a person would have to purge themselves from. I'm not going to take the time right now. We may later on in the message. But we may look at all the things that he said in chapter 1 and chapter 2 before he got to that verse that you would have to purge yourself from to be prepared. It didn't mean, listen, I've said this before, it doesn't mean we're segregating ourselves. It means we're separating ourselves in our heart to what the Lord has planned and prepared for us. Amen. Now look at Romans chapter 4 just a minute. Chapter 7. Back over to chapter 7. Now this scripture has been used to really wear people out that have been divorced and remarried. But I want you to know something. This scripture is really not talking about divorce and remarriage. Even though he's talking about it here. He's talking about being. Who are you married to? Are you married to the law or are you married to Jesus? The only way you can be qualified in life and be prepared to do what the Lord wants you to do is be married to Jesus. Amen? Now notice what he says here in Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives, but if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives, she be married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Notice verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren. Now, notice he's talking about brethren. So he's talking about men, women here. He's talking about the brethren that were at the church of Rome. Okay, and they're with me now. Notice here. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. The Lord wants us to be married to him. Now, I don't know how many of y'all, if I could just see a hand raised here. How many of y'all in here are married right now? Would you hold your hand up? That's quite a few folks in here that are married, all right? Now, if you've been married any length of time, you know that being married to someone, there's responsibilities for being married to that. I mean, could you imagine me being married to Beth and saying, and her having certain needs in her life and coming to me and saying, you know, I need this, and I'd say, well, you know what, I'm under grace. I'm under grace. I really don't think that your needs really don't matter anything to me, because I'm qualified by grace. I'm under grace. And so because I'm under grace, I don't have any responsibility in this marriage. Could you imagine how far that would float? Huh? Well, let me tell you something. If you are married to another, even to him that is raised from the dead, you're going to have to realize that requires some responsibility with it too. Just like my marriage to her, if I'm married to the Lord, that marriage requires responsibility. And let me tell you something. All this, listen, thank God for grace. Grace qualifies you. Can you say grace qualifies me? But all of this floaty stuff about grace, folks, I'm telling you, it's getting into error because people are missing the responsibility factor of grace. They're missing that grace empowers us not to be lazy, not to be slothful, not to not do what God wants us to do. It empowers us to do the things that He wants done. Amen. Not to be slothful, not to say, well, you know, oh, grace is qualified. I mean, some of us have been so much under pressure and so much under law that we're not even rejoicing over who we're married to now. We're married to another, even to him that has been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. We're married to Jesus that's been raised from the dead. And that newness of life empowers us to take the responsibility of our marriage just like we were and do when we're married to a woman or a man, when we're married. Amen. You know what? That ring right there is not what empowers me. Do you understand that? I mean, that ring has not been off my finger in 33 years. But you know what? That's not what empowers me. Do you know what? My marriage license doesn't empower me. It's not the piece of paper that empowers me. I tried to tell this to a guy one time, was having marital problems, and I said, you know, your ring and your marriage license is not what empowers you. It's not what makes me responsible. That's where people are confused about law and grace. The written word and law will never empower you. But you have to have them. It is part of God's principle for me, if I'm married to this woman, to have a marriage license. Amen. Amen. You remember when Jesus met the woman at the well, he said, you've been married 5 times and the man that you're now with is not your husband. He didn't recognize people living together. He didn't recognize that as marriage. Amen. See, we need that marriage license. I think Beth kind of likes me wearing this ring. But you know what? Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. These rings, sometimes they just don't mount to a hill of beans to people. And the marriage license doesn't mount to a hill of beans to people. What is it that makes my covenant, my commitment to her? It is the love we have between us. Even though we've got the marriage license won't amount to a hill of beans if I don't love who I'm married to. But let me bring that out right over into the kingdom of God. Are you married to your Bible? Are you married to Jesus? See, are you married? See, if you're married to Jesus, this is going to mean something to you. I'm married to Beth. My marriage license and my ring means something to me. I haven't had it off in 33 years. I mean, not even to wash. Boy, I probably should pull it back every now and then, I guess, and wash under it. But you know what I'm saying here. We are married to another. Listen, you say, if I'm qualified by grace, then how am I going to be prepared? Number one, you're going to see who you're married to. You're either going to be married to Jesus or this world system, one or the other. You're going to be married to Jesus and be responsible in that marriage. Just like you were if you were married to someone else. You're going to be married to Jesus and listen to your mate, the Lord Jesus, and hearken unto his voice when he says, Ron, this is important to me. Will you do this for me? Or Ron, I want you to consecrate yourself in this area. I want you to do something here in your life for me. I'm married to another. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not married to the law. The number one way we're going to be prepared is when we recognize you are married to another. Now, if I'm married to Beth and we have children, how many know we got children's church here? Well, we're married to the Lord and we've got children. Well, what if Beth said, hey, Ron, one of the babies need changing. Hey, change a baby? Me fool with children? Ha! Me do something in church that affects the children's ministry? Me do? Oh. No. I'm married to another. You know what? With marriage, when you have children, and I see everybody's getting cold now, so let's turn that air conditioner off. We're married to another. When we had children, I tell you what, I think she would have run me out of the house with a rolling pin if I'd looked at her and said, no, I'm not changing a diaper. Amen. When you've got children and you're married, let me tell you something. There's a dual responsibility that goes on with those children. It's not just the mother and it's not just the father. There is a responsibility with those children that the mother and the father take care of. That's what we have to understand about these little babies and children running around here. We're married to the Lord. There are children. There's not only children up there in children's church, but there's children in faith that need some of these mothers and fathers of Israel to hook them under their wings and get your eyes off your own life and start serving the people and letting these little babies know the Word of God and the love that God has for them. Well, I can't change that diaper. I've got to go fishing. Oh, Lord, have mercy. No, I'm married to another. With marriage comes responsibility. See, people have focused on, now turn back over there to Romans 7. Let me show you what we focused on. And we need to focus on both of them, not just one or the other. Notice what it says here in verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law. Now, we've focused on that. We've been so happy that we're dead to the law. And let me tell you something. There's people making law out of stuff that's not even law. It's like anything that you require someone to do. Oh, you're putting me under the law. You're putting me under the law. You're putting me under the law. You don't even know what law is. Put me under the law. Lord have mercy. Coming to church is not being put under the law. Dear Lord, serving is not being put under the law. We have been so thrilled about not being married to the law that we've forgotten who we're married to. We're married to another. And if you're married to another, there's responsibility with that marriage. Any marriage requires responsibility. I'm standing here in front of you, honey. Amen, me girl.
Amen.
We've been so thrilled about being dead to the law that it's almost like we've forgotten our new wife of who we're married to. Yes. With any marriage, there is responsibility. And if you're married to him that's been raised from the dead, then that marriage to him is going to create a life force of bearing and bearing and bearing. bearing and bearing and bearing and bearing fruit, because Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified that you bear just a little bit of fruit. No, he said, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Much fruit. When you're married to Jesus, let me tell you something. He wants fruit. See, we have to choose who we're going to be married to. Are we going to be married to the world system? Are we going to be married to Jesus? That when you're married to Jesus, when you're connected with Jesus, it's going to bear fruit unto God. There's going to be fruit born out of that. You know what? We entered into this relationship with Jesus, and thank God we're dead to the law. Thank God the law no longer has a hold over us. But let me tell you something. What if I got married to Beth and I said,